It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, February 18th. I'm Patricia Naft. The death of a 2-year-old girl in Montrose was ruled a homicide. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
A coroner's investigation found that Toby Doyle died from blunt force trauma to the head. Montrose police and ambulance responded last Saturday to an apartment on the south side of Montrose for a 911 call about an unresponsive child. This is Montrose Chief of Police Tom Chin.
We responded with the ambulance service and discovered the child. The child was basically resuscitated by the ambulance service and Montrose Memorial Hospital. And the child was alive when the child was transferred to Denver.
She was then airlifted to Denver, where she died.
While we're gathering information, we're trying to make a case, and no arrests have been made at this point in time.
He expects the case to develop soon. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The closure of I-70 in Glenwood Canyon will continue into the weekend, according to state officials. KDNK's January Jones has more.
I-70 through Glenwood Canyon won't be reopening until Saturday at the earliest, said Colorado Department of Transportation officials on Thursday afternoon. Rock slides on Monday closed the road, and it's been slow progress to remove the debris. Transportation officials had hoped to have the road open by Thursday afternoon to limited traffic. But as Steve Olson, the CDOT program engineer for Northwest Colorado, told KDNK during an on-site visit Thursday morning, their work is dictated by the weather, as it is the causation of the slides and it contributes to the delays in the cleanup.
It's mostly changes in the weather that causes the earth to warm up and cool down, so it causes a freeze-thaw and causes things to move. But another big challenge with the weather is just being able to get our helicopters to transport equipment to the folks working on the slope higher up. So we can't fly the helicopters when it's overcast or cloudy and rainy.
CDOT's rock scaling operations are using airbag or pillow detonators to break up the rocks still perched on the cliffs. At the same time, they are trying to repair the road below, so the crews have to alternate activity for safety. CDOT officials are estimating that the total cost of repairs could near $5 million, and they aren't ruling out seeking federal disaster assistance. The initial reopening of the road, if it happens this weekend, will be just one lane, one-way traffic through 6 miles of the canyon, guided by a CDOT pilot car. Drivers can't expect delays exceeding 1 hour then. The recommended detour around Glenwood Canyon is about 200 miles. For KDNK News, I'm January Jones.
The mayor pro tem for Hotchkiss resigned her position. Carrie Wingfield left the town council after moving out of town. Council member Larry Jakubiak will take over as mayor pro tem. Wingfield's seat on the council was up for election anyway, so they will simply operate with one less member until April's vote. This year in Hotchkiss, there are 6 people running for 4 seats. Grand Junction is considering adding an event arena onto its Two Rivers Convention Center. Interim City Manager Tim Moore says the proposed facility could seat 5,000 people and host hockey games and concerts in the hopes of bringing more people downtown during the winter months. A building like that, though, wouldn't be free.
Their cost estimate for the overall facility is about $62 million, and so, that's obviously one of the challenges with trying to move forward with a facility like this.
Moore says that the feasibility study presented to the City Council shows that Grand Junction is positioned nicely between Denver and Salt Lake City. It could bring more people into the downtown shops, hotels, and restaurants. He says that the increase in sales and lodging tax wouldn't be enough to cover the $62 million bill, and they'd have to go to voters to ask for a tax increase. Right now, city staff are working through financial models and talking with members of the business community. Any decision by the town council is still a way off. A new report from the Colorado State Forest Service shows that the mountain pine beetle is decreasing while other insects are moving in to take its place. The annual Forest Health Report was presented to lawmakers Wednesday. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The spruce beetle is now the state's most damaging and widespread forest insect, according to the report. Over the last decade, it has impacted more than 1.5 million acres. Meanwhile, the mountain pine beetle is on the decline. Both beetles are native to Colorado.
They're fairly full right now. They haven't eaten most of the pines. They could get their mandibles on. So right now, spruce beetle is the insect of the moment.
That's Mike Lester. He directs the Colorado State Forest Service and presented the report to the Joint Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. Republican Representative Don Corum of Montrose asked whether state and federal agencies could speed up the removal of dead trees.
You mentioned that you're planning on treating 57,000 acres this year, but with the millions of acres that we have, how are you ever going to catch up? I think we have to change the game plan and expedite the treatment.
Republican Representative J. Paul Brown of Ignacio agrees. He says when he's driving over Wolf Creek Pass, he sees too many dead trees.
And, you know, right along that corridor, tourism, everything else, why can't we get those trees out of there?
Time and money and the amount of folks were limited.
That's Jackie Buchanan, the deputy regional forester for the U.S. Forest Service.
There's always going to be more work than we have ability to get to as quick as we would like to, sir. We'll try to find, you know, innovative ways.
She says the Forest Service has a strong relationship with nonprofits, the timber industry, and other state agencies, which helps extend the agency's reach. She does believe controlled burns are one of the best ways to remove trees.
Sometimes in wilderness, it's the best tool we have.
Buchanan also notes that it has to be a case-by-case basis because fires can be harmful if not properly managed. And Lester says Colorado is still recovering from the other extreme that gained popularity 100 years ago when foresters believed fire suppression was the best management practice. He says it's had a devastating impact.
And you combine that with the fact that in Colorado, we love our forests and we like to build our homes there. That's making it even more difficult to letting some of these things burn.
Since 2000, the number of people living near forests has more than doubled to over 2 million. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Governor John Hickenlooper says Colorado urgently needs to increase the amount of water it stores in both new and existing reservoirs. Hickenlooper told a room of agribusiness professionals in Denver yesterday that he's making storage a high priority in implementation of the state's recently adopted comprehensive water plan. He plans to ask Colorado's congressional delegation to help speed up federal permitting for new reservoirs.
By doing more storage, I think we take some of the pressure off of people selling their water. We're going to push this as aggressively as we can.
Hickenlooper says additional storage could take the form of new projects like the controversial Northern Integrated Supply Project, or NISP, which would build two new reservoirs in northern Colorado. It could also mean expanding existing reservoirs. NISP has had strong opposition from community groups concerned with the negative effects it could have on recreation and river health. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.